for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the 1:15 Saturday afternoon, February the 18th service. Carla Butard is the speaker.
I'm going to talk about something that I've talked about a couple of times here before, but as she said, it was a different group of people. And if I have to repeat it every time until everybody hears it, it's a needed message. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us today, right now. The whole time we've been here, we thank you for your presence. Right now, I ask, Lord, that you would send your mighty, warring angels to encamp around us right now, to do battle, even as it's being spoken to do the battle, even before I call, the spirits are called out, Lord, I ask you to do the battle. I ask you to release right now the spirit of deliverance in this room. I ask you to bring to remembrance things that are hidden, Lord, so that we can be rid of them and be totally free to be who you've created us to be. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I call this hidden sins because it was hidden in my life for, well, till last year. It was the first time that I had an inkling that this was going on in my life. It came as a result of my daughter asking me to buy a book. And I bought the book, and then she moved, and the book never went to where it was supposed to go. And one day the Lord said, you need to pick that book up and read it. But before I read the title of what the book is, I want to read a list of manifestations of this particular spirit. And then, you know, you'll know if you have it, because it's like if I were to just suddenly call out the name Rachel. You know, you get this feeling. That's how these things are that are hidden. When you touch them, they rear up. And so this is a list. Anger, rage, bitterness of yourself and others, feelings of being unloved by God, seems like you can't enter into the deeper things of God. You have unexplained fear, different kinds of phobias, any kind of phobia. Spiritual blocks, self-condemnation, self-hatred, fatigue, extreme nervousness, insomnia, false guilt, mental illness, extreme absent-mindedness, internal torment, fear of losing your mind, hearing voices, unable to love children, your own children, unable to show love to your own children, or even hatred of children, fear of being found out, and you may know what it's about, or you may not know what it's about. You just have a fear that something's going to be exposed about yourself. Unsatisfactory marriage relationships. Migraine headaches. Difficult labors, childbirths. Miscarriages. Having stillborn babies. Or even losing babies to like SIDS. Female problems. PMS. Painful periods. Lumps, cysts, cancers. Murderous feelings or suicidal feelings, just extreme rejection and insecurity, even death wishes, wishing you had never been born, general feelings of being unhappy, just absolute miserable, infertility, fear of pregnancy, fornication, promiscuity, depression, grief, sorrow, being like non-emotional, unable to show your emotions, like a hardened heart, being mechanical, going through the motions, but not having any feelings to go along with it, feelings of not being loved. Those are just some of the manifestations. Okay, now I want to read a scripture, two scriptures, only two. Exodus 20, verse 5. We're pretty familiar with that. Exodus 20, verse 5. And it says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation to them that hate me. And I always like to say, you know, the word hate, we know what the word hate means. It's just, completely despise, and we would all say, I don't hate God. But in this particular scripture, in the Hebrew language, that word hate means disloyal, those who are disloyal to me. And we've all been disloyal, have we not, at one time or another? And so these generational curses we hear a lot about, and they are passed down, and they are at work in us, even though we don't know what the sins of our forefathers were. It says it's going to revisit those things. I used to think it meant I was going to be punished for what my forefathers did, and I thought that was pretty chicken. But no, it means those very same sins are going to be done by those in the third and fourth generation. And like she said earlier, they always seem to be repeated so that the curse is just perpetuated forever until someone puts an end to it. And the other scripture is Luke 8, and I didn't write down the verse, but it's 17. Luke 8, 17. And it's Jesus speaking, and he says, For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hidden that shall not be made known and come to light. And boy, is that the truth. If it doesn't manifest and come to light in you, it's manifested and comes to light in your children. And those things which are hidden will be brought to light. And in my own life, I was the baby of the family, much loved, much wanted, and yet I didn't feel loved. I never could understand why I didn't feel loved, but I didn't. I mean, even all the way into my married life, I didn't feel like when Mike married me, I didn't feel like he loved me. I couldn't even receive love. And I had these unnatural thoughts, not often, but once I was holding my cat in my lap, and a little female, and she was real tiny. She had this little bitty head, and I was just petting her. And I put my hand over her head, and I thought, you know, I could just pick her up and do that and snap her neck and just kill her. And I thought, my goodness, where'd that come from? Get off my lap. murderous thoughts. You know, I had a brother that picked on me a lot. And I'm telling you, people think I'm joking, but if I had been big enough, I would have killed him. I would have murdered him. Then when I had children, my first baby, Precious, but difficult, very demanding, and I just hated for him to show up in the morning. You know, when he became a toddler, he would walk into that living room and it would just be like, why can't he sleep 2 more hours? You know? And I was like, why do I feel that way? I mean, in my heart of hearts, I didn't feel that way, but my flesh felt that way. And I had migraine headaches. Only with my periods, no other time but with the cycle. And after I was married, I suffered a 4-year depression. I mean, I really thought I was losing it. Why? I was losing it. But anyway, I always wondered, these were unanswered questions. And then I picked up this book, and it's called Ministering to Abortion's Aftermath. And I'd never picked up the book, wasn't interested in it, because I'd never had an abortion, never even thought about having an abortion. So it didn't really apply to me. But when God said, read that book, and I thought, why? And he said, well, you're going to minister to people who have, and you need to understand it. Only what I got a real understanding of was myself when I read the book. In reading the book, I realized that this is where those unnatural thoughts came from, because my mother had told me, and I'd forgotten all about it until I read the book. She told me that when she was 14 years old, her mother told her that she had tried to abort her when she was pregnant with her. I mean, she was having babies like one after the other. My mother was the third baby, and my grandmother tried to abort her. So the spirit of abortion went into my mother, and then through her loins passed right on in to me and my brothers. And infertility, you know, I thought, I mean, it was just like, wow, oh, well, that explains, because my oldest brother is infertile. He's sterile, can't have children. My other brother lost his first baby shortly after birth. And so these things are very powerful, these spirits that are passed down generation to generation. And then the promiscuity. My dad had his mother. I believe that she was pregnant with my dad when they married, but I don't know that for a fact. But my daddy manifested a lot of the bastard spirit, which is very tied in with this, because when a person wants to abort a baby, that spirit of rejection comes in, and the bastard spirit with it. So that you feel unloved. You have a fear of abandonment. I had a terrible fear of abandonment. I had this reoccurring dream when I was a little girl that mother and dad, we were all at the grocery store, and they were through shopping and said, you can go on and get in the car. And I walked outside, and every car was just like ours. And I didn't know which one to get into. So I'd have to walk real slow and keep an eye on them to see where they went, because I knew that if I got in this car, they were going to get in that car and leave me. A terrible fear of abandonment. And so this is so very real. And we don't know what happened in our mothers, our grandmothers, our fathers, you know, through their bloodline. Even if a woman just has a dread of being pregnant, this spirit enters in, because it's a rejection. I wondered if this weren't the explanation of the very first time that I was aware that a woman, you know, would kill her own child, was Susan Smith, when she drove her children into that pond or that lake or whatever it was, with her children strapped to the seat. You know, when you think about it, it's just unbelievable that anyone could do that to a child. But see, that spirit of murder is there through the spirit of abortion. And so I believe now that spirit is really manifesting itself in our country. The curse, you know, there's so many women who are infertile. And I thought, well, Lord, does every family have the spirit of abortion? He said, no, but the nation is under the curse of the spirit of abortion, because it's legalized. So our whole country is under the curse of the spirit of abortion. And it causes child hatred. There is just a hatred of children. These men that kill their girlfriend's children, you know, they'll let someone move in the house with them, and then they end up killing the woman's children. And there is a rash of husbands killing their pregnant wives or their wives and their babies. In one of the testimonies in this book, it talks about a woman that she was not saved. She had had an abortion when she was a young teenager. And then later she got saved and she married a man. They were very active Christians. And years went by, and the children were small. The husband leaves the house to go to a meeting at the church. He comes home, and she has smothered all three of their children Because that spirit of murder is there. And then when it decides to be satisfied, it rears up and the murder takes place. And if you don't know about it, it happens before you know it. It's like I try to explain how demons work. Sometimes people say, well, you know, this and this. And I said, yeah, but listen, if you understand how the demon works, because it's like Paul says, the very thing that I hate is the thing that I do. And the very thing that I don't want to do is the thing that I do. There is a spirit in your body, your spirit in your flesh, and they war against each other. And the spirits are in, the demons work in the flesh. I know how it works because I like chocolate. And I can have a Hershey bar on my cabinet, let's say two Hershey bars, and I eat one and I'm going to save the other one for later, but I want the other one too. And in a little while, I'll come back and the other one is gone and I don't even remember eating it. So when the demon demands to be satisfied, it's almost like it puts a hood over yourself, your consciousness and everything. And then you go through the act and then you don't even remember doing it. And then of course these people plead insanity or sometimes they even plead innocent. And I used to think, well, they're just nuts. But I'm beginning to understand, you know, now that demons, you understand how the demons work. You understand how something like that can happen and they not have a conscious memory of it because they're under the influence of demonic behavior. And so when my daughter, this manifested in my daughter, she got pregnant outside of wedlock. And, you know, it was just terrible. I didn't, you know, it was so distressing to me and her dad because, well, first of all, and I never would have thought this, but every time Mike sees a wedding on television, it really tears him up because he was robbed of the joy of walking her down the aisle. And for me, it was knowing what it was going to do to her life. I just felt like her life was ruined. And God walked me through a process. In the first place, early on, and nobody knew about this but her and her dad and me for quite some time, from like September to I think January or February, she finally told the rest of the family. And I had a dream. I was at my mother's house, and I had a dream. And in the dream, there was a woman. She was beautiful. And I knew that it was my grandmother's mother. Now, she was abandoned at birth, so she was probably illegitimately conceived. And you know how you, in my own mind, I always thought, well, she must have been, you know, kind of a slut. Because in my mind, that's the people that happened to. But in reality, it happens to people just like me. And in the dream, and I knew that it was my grandmother's mother, and she was a beautiful, godly-looking woman. And it surprised me. And then while I'm looking at her, she changed into me. And then, you know, while I'm being surprised at that, it changed into Katie. And what God was saying to me was, it could have been you, because Mike and I had sex before we were married, which was the perpetuation of the curse. It was a manifestation of that curse that comes from the spirit of abortion and the spirit of the bastard. And so I just didn't get caught, but my daughter did, see. And so she was very upset because she knew that I was very upset. Of course, I'm sure if she could make her choice, she wouldn't want to be pregnant, but she was pregnant. And so she talked about, of course, it was an option. Abortion was an option. And we talked about it, and I said, well, you know how I feel about abortion. It's murder. I said, but, you know, it's your body, it's your life, and I'm not going to judge you for whatever you choose to do. I'm not going to judge you. Well, she decided not to do it. And then when the baby was born, I went out. She lives in West Texas, and I went out to be with her and help her with the baby. And when I got there, she and the baby were just a wreck. I mean, she didn't have a very hard childbirth, but she was just like a wreck. And the baby was, you know, it was disturbing to see. And she was, she had fed the baby, and I got there like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't want to keep her up too long. So I went to bed. She went to bed, put the baby down. And the next morning, I got out the movie camera that the grandparents had sent with me and said, be sure and get a lot of pictures of the baby. And so Katie had gotten out of the shower, and she was sitting with the baby. And I said, well, let me get some pictures of y'all. And so I turned the camera on, and I'm looking at her through the camera. And I said, well, look up at me, Katie. And she couldn't even look up, and she just began to cry. So I turned off the camera, and I said, Katie, what's the matter, baby? And she just shook her head, and like she couldn't even say it, but then she said it. She said, Mom, you know, after the baby was born and they gave her to me, I kept waiting to feel something for her. And she said, I didn't, and I still don't. She said, it, you know, it's very heartbreaking for her because she wanted to love her baby, but she couldn't. And she said, and, you know, I put her down, even though she had only had her at home by herself a short time. She said, I kept running to her to make sure that she was okay, that she was breathing. And she said, and then I would go away from her and, like, go in the kitchen or something, and I would hear this voice that would say, you could kill her. You could kill the baby. And Katie was just, you know, so scared. And I was so thankful that I had read this book. And I said, Katie, I said, stop right there. I said, I'm going to pray over you. I don't want you to be disturbed by anything that I say, but we're going to get rid of this. I know what this is. And so I just started coming against the spirit of abortion, the spirit of murder, the spirit of rejection, the bastard spirit, everything I could think of, and the unloving spirit. Because, you know, my mother is a very loving woman. She was a great mother to us. She was a wonderful housekeeper, a good cook. She went to work when I was 4. But she did all of her responsibilities were always taken care of. She was a good mother. But I didn't feel close to my mother. I couldn't get close to my mother. I was real close to my dad. He was very nurturing, very affectionate. And so I was very, very close to my dad. But my mom seemed distant, mechanical. It was like a mechanical mom going through the motions with no emotion. And that's how Katie was when I first got there. You know, she would change the diaper. She would do all this stuff. But it was just like she had this deadpan expression on her face. But after I prayed the prayer, and while I was praying, she just cried and cried and cried. And then I laid hands on the baby and did the same thing with the baby. And I want you to know that within 6 or 8 hours, I mean, I love watching the movie because you can see it. You could see the love develop. It was like the next time she fed her, she would, you know, look at her and pick up her little hands and talk about who in our family has long fingers and, you know, and then she'd fool with her little ear and do her little hair. You could just watch her fall in love with that baby. It was so wonderful. And so I know that, you know, this is going to be a short a short lesson, but to bring this into your realm of knowledge, in case there is, if you could relate to any of these things. Like, for instance, another thing that I had a lot was false guilt. I can remember all my life when there was somebody being griped at for something, I felt like I had done it. And I'd never done it. One time in particular, I was probably about in the third or fourth grade, and somebody had written on the bathroom wall, so they brought all the kids into the gym, all the girls into the gym, and just fussed about writing on the walls and writing on the walls and writing on the walls. And I felt like I had done it. And I know, and remember this, because you know how people look for a guilty face? Well, I know who did it, because, boy, you talk about look guilty. They had it written all over their face. I know I probably looked like the guilty one for everything that was ever fussed about. But it was a false guilt. And there are some physical illnesses, too, that are attributed to this. Because self-hatred is a root of such things as, where did I write that? Self-hatred. Anorexia nervosa. That is a self-hatred. You were talking about children not being able to eat. That is a demon. And it's a demon of self-hatred. Maybe not in the child, but it's been passed down. Self-hatred somewhere in the bloodline, and it manifests in the child. There was a show on recently about a child, 4 years old, I think, that had anorexia. She was in the hospital, and they were interviewing the mother and the daddy, and I was sitting there thinking, that woman is anorexic. And then later it came out that she had battled it herself. So see, there it is, repeated in the child. And deliverance is, I said the last time I taught this, that if I had known about this stuff back when my children were born, the delivery room would have had two meanings. They would have delivered the baby, and then I would have delivered the baby. I would have done deliverance on the baby. But really and truly, it's like that little tiny baby that's back there. The things that you know that you've been delivered of and that are in the family line, y'all can get together and do deliverance over that infant. My prayer partner and I did that with a baby, and that little old baby was just tooting and straining and squirming and burping and sneezing even. It was amazing. A little tiny baby. But the spirits are not little tiny. They're ancient. They've been around forever and ever and in the family forever and ever. And if we would just be bold enough to do it. The first time I did it was my daughter was 5 years old. And she was saved later, but she was 5 years old and in kindergarten. And she would cry. On the way to school, she would cry. She had that fear of separation and abandonment. So she wouldn't cry if Mike and I went out and a babysitter came. No, but when I took her to school, tears would just roll down her cheek. And it would break my heart because I didn't know, is she afraid? Is something happening at school I need to know about or what? And I would always say, why are you crying? And she'd go, but, she just had grief and sorrow, you know, that comes with that. She had a spirit of grief, and I had gone through that depression, and my grandmother had a breakdown. I had an aunt that had a breakdown. I mean, the mental illness that goes along with all of that was alive and well in our family. And I had the radio on one day after I had dropped her off with big tears running down her cheeks, and the man was talking about how spirits can be passed from the mother to the fetus. And that got my attention. He said, for instance, and then he used my instance. Let's say a mother was depressed when she was carrying the baby. And I thought, that is me. So I listened. I sat in the car even after I got home to hear the whole program on the radio. And so he said, so the other guy says, so what do you do about it? And I said, yeah, what do you do about it? And he said, well, it's not difficult. He said, you can go in the room when your child is asleep And you don't have to carry on a soft voice. You spirit that is causing my child to, and then if it's not depression, whatever it is, if it's outburst of rage or whatever, and you just command that spirit to come out. And I had been delivered from of depression. So I took authority over that spirit in my daughter and commanded it to go in the name of Jesus. There was no manifestation or anything. But do you know she never cried again? See, we think it's got to be some mysterious, serious, you know. But, hey, Jesus would just walk and say, be quiet and come out of him. It was no big deal. He just would do it. And it would be done. And so don't be intimidated, you know, to start doing that, especially in your families. What you know you've been delivered of here, you better know it's in your kids. And it's going to be in your grandkids. And so I encourage you to begin to do that. I remember my son, when he was going through his problems, I could not get that kid out of the bed. And he wasn't going to school, and my husband would find jobs for him and find tutors to help him get his GED and everything. And he would say, okay, bring him to Jasper at 10 o'clock. Well, I'd try to get him out of the bed and try to get him out of the bed. I couldn't get him. He would make me so mad. And one day he made me so mad that I went to the stairway and I said, you demon of rebellion, come out of him in Jesus' name. You demon of... Boy, I was just screaming. 2 seconds later, Mom? Are you okay? But I was screaming at the demons. But hey, he got out of the bed. But I mean, really, that's the way it is. You have to address the demons, not the person, but the demon. And let me see what else is here. Oh, I was talking about the physical things. Okay, so lupus is another thing that comes up from self-hatred because it causes autoimmune diseases. When you hate yourself, it causes autoimmune diseases, which means your body starts attacking itself. That's what self-hatred does. Some forms of arthritis are from self-hatred and unforgiveness. Those two are linked together. And unforgiveness is one of the manifestations. You can't forgive yourself. And you have bitterness, anger, and resentment against everybody who had anything to do with it. The person that paid for it, the person that drove you there, the person that did it, the nurses that helped. In one of these stories, the girl even hated the dress she wore. She brought it home and burned it, you know, trying to get rid of the torment. Let's see. The unloving spirit. That spirit won't allow you to love. It won't allow you to receive love, and it won't allow you to love. And that's another manifestation of the abortion spirit. I'm sorry I jotted these down so quickly. Oh, pride is another one. That's one of the main things that causes people to have abortions is pride. And in all tied up in that is vanity and selfishness. There's a lot of adultery in people who have the spirit of abortion in the family because it won't allow you to have proper relations. You just are not satisfied by your wife or your husband. You got to go outside the marriage to get it. Okay, I think that's all the ones that I have down here. But I want us to just get quiet before the Lord. Let's pray. Ask God to show you anything hidden in your heart that could be causing problems today, or anything hidden in your bloodline. And we're gonna cast some of these spirits. We're gonna cast these spirits out. Break the curse. We're going to renounce and confess. And then we're going to forgive. So just get quiet before the Lord. Just close your eyes. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. Walk around in the recesses of our heart, Lord, in our spirits, our minds, our bodies, our memories, Lord. I want you to pray this prayer first. Father, I renounce the sin of abortion. The sin of abortion in my forefathers, in my bloodline. I confess, Lord, that it is murder. And I take accountability for the sins of my forefathers. And I ask you to forgive them, Lord, for the sin of abortion and murder and child hatred and pride and fear. I renounce it. And Lord, I call it what it is, and I confess for ever having anything to do with the sin of abortion. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And I forgive them. I forgive myself for any time I have hurt my children, whether it was in word or deed, or even thoughts, feelings. And Lord, I forgive my mother. Forgive me for thinking that she withheld her love from me. And forgive me for withholding my love from anyone else. And right now, I break the soul ties with anyone having anything to do with abortion. I call back my soul and spirit from them. And I send back their souls and spirits to them. And I ask you to cleanse my bloodline, Lord, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And I take back any ground that was given to Satan through the sin of abortion. So right now, I'll do this part. Right now, I take authority over the sin of abortion, over the spirit of abortion, over the spirit of death, murder, death wish, suicide, self-hatred, all these spirits. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. I come against anger, rage, bitterness, spirit of bitterness, come out, resentment, self-hatred, being angry with God, angry with yourself, all anger spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of being angry at God, all fear spirits, fear of being pregnant, fear of being found out, in the name of Jesus, all fear spirits, fear of getting pregnant, fear of not being able to get pregnant, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of self-condemnation, go in Jesus' name. Guilt. Guilt, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All guilt spirits, go in Jesus' name. All extreme nervous, spirits of nervousness, mental illness, go in Jesus' name. Torment, mental torment, insomnia, I command insomnia to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of false guilt, go in Jesus' name. Self-condemnation and guilt. Not loving yourself, I command the spirit of not loving yourself to go. Unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. Anger, anger at the doctor, anger at the nurses, anger at the boyfriend, anger at the husband, anger at yourself, anger at the baby, in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. The fear of losing your mind. Mental torment. Voices. Voices that speak to you in the night. Voices that you hear in your head. Go in Jesus' name. I command the voices to shut up and go in Jesus' name. I command the unloving spirit to go in the name of Jesus. Unable to love others. Unable to love yourself, unable to receive love, in Jesus' name. I break your power, you unloving spirit. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of hatred of children in the name of Jesus. I command vanity and selfishness, go. Pride, go in Jesus' name. I command migraine headaches to be broken. The power of migraine headaches, go in Jesus' name. Miscarriages, stillbirths, SIDS, go in Jesus' name. Difficult labors and childbirths, cramps, PMS, go in Jesus' name. Painful periods, go in Jesus' name. Menopausal problems, all hormonal problems, go in the name of Jesus. Thoughts of murder, murder and suicide, I break your power in Jesus' name. Rejection, go in Jesus' name. Insecurity, death wishes, I wish I had never been born, I break your power in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of misery to go. Go in Jesus' name. Unnatural thoughts, all thoughts of perversion, sexual perversion, go in Jesus' name. All acts of sexual perversion, go in Jesus' name. All sexual sins, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of infertility in the name of Jesus. Fornication, I break your power in Jesus' name. Promiscuity, acts of promiscuity, I break your power in Jesus' name. All sex sin before marriage, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Depression, grief, and sorrow, go in Jesus' name. I command the blocking spirits that have held you back from the deeper things of God, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All blocking spirits, spiritual blocks, go in Jesus' name. I break the generational curse of abortion off of everyone in this room. Generational curse of abortion. Unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. Bad memories, nightmares, night terrors, torments, inability to sleep, I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of adultery in Jesus' name. Unsatisfactory marriage relationships, I break your power right now in Jesus' name. I bind the wives to their husbands and I bind the husbands to the wives in the name of Jesus. I release love for one another in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I speak to all physical afflictions, whether I named them or not, all physical afflictions that came from the spirit of abortion, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Physical afflictions of all kind, infirmities, the spirit of infirmity. I come against the spirit of incest in Jesus' name. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. Whether you were the victim of incest or whether you have done it to somebody else, all incestual spirits come out in Jesus' name. Perverse thoughts come out in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance today. Thank you for this information. Lord, help us to help others that we know that have been through this. Father, that we might help them reach a place of peace in their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come now. Lord, fill the empty places. Fill the empty places. I speak peace to the women. I speak peace in Jesus' name. I speak the love of God. Lord, open their eyes. Open all of our eyes, Lord, that we might see you. We might understand when we read your word, Lord. I speak a spirit of revelation. And we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for deliverance, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you're going to complete the work that you have begun. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.